Black, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be a fun one today. I had sort of wavered on going to the Super Bowl. Should I? Shouldn't I? Masked, unmasked. And then I realized I'm going to be talking to people like this guy. Hall of Famer Jerome Bettis joins us back in Baltimore to talk about breathing and air quality. But I got to talk to you. You have some memories of L.A. bus. I mean, I remember having you on a show when you were a Los Angeles Ram.
Yeah, I've got some good memories there playing for the Rams and having a little bit of success out there to start my career. So I've got a soft place in my heart for the Rams.
Well, I bet you do. And you know, for despite all of our battles here in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, we have a soft spot for you as well. Can't begin this thing without having you talk a little bit about Ben and just the departure and this rivalry. I mean, I follow you on Twitter, dude. You get all jacked up about Ravens and Steelers. You're tweeting and you're in the middle of all of it. It still is a lot of fun, but it takes on changes after years, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But at its core, it's two great organizations, two great football teams that don't like each other and that want to beat each other's brains out. And regardless of the characters, the commitment is still the same. And I think that's what you love about the rivalry. The next man up, they understand it, they appreciate it, and they attack it in the same way as the last generation of players did. So it's always a fun matchup, always.
You know, this is an interesting time of the year where all these organizations are running around trying to figure out who their GM is going to be, who their head coach is going to be. We don't have those problems in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, right? I mean, such stability. It's kind of incredible. And John hired a new defensive coordinator, and Mike has made a lot of changes through the course of time. But these organizations, even when they don't make the playoffs or they make the playoffs and they get bounced in the first round, or even when you have to watch Cincinnati play deep, that these organizations have some stability about them that really, you know, like the communities are like that and the foundations of the communities are like that. In we see things through, we stick things out, and that's Steelers and Ravens.
You know, what it boils down to is a core belief in how to do business. And it's just like any other company. The Steelers and the Ravens, they have a core competency. They say, hey, we're going to do things like this, right? And you say, okay, we're going to build on this philosophy year in and year out. We're not going to waver from it. We're not going to change who we are. We're not going to just develop a whole new mindset. We're going to continue on this path. And that's what these organizations do. So that's why you don't see a lot of turnover. That's why you see the same type of product on the field every year. You know, when you see that Ravens helmet, these guys are coming to play defense. They're going to be at you, in your face. They're going to be fighting you every step of the way, right? When you see that Pittsburgh Steelers helmet, you know what's coming. They're coming, bringing that defense. They're going to fight you. They're going to battle you for 60 minutes. So it's that mindset that they bring every single day, and they attack it the same way, and that's why you get the same type of product.
Well, Boss, you've been out of the league a long time, in the Hall of Fame a long time, on television, off television. We're going to talk about breathing and some challenges. I'm certainly going to do that. For all of these years, Ben, they've gone to bed every night. Ben's been the quarterback, right? They've never had to worry about that. And right. Obviously, since you were there, right? And New England, same thing with Brady and trying to replace that. This is a time. I mean, the Saints are going to go through that with coaching now and with Breeze and Peyton. These changing of eras are very, very difficult. The Ravens sort of move through it, and Harbaugh moved through it from Flacco into Lamar, and we'll see how that turns out. This is a pivotal time for Mike, right? For Tomlin, for the organization moving forward, especially given what Joe Burrow looks like he represents right now.
100%. It is a very critical time because, quite frankly, Coach Tomlin has never had to deal with this. He's always had the luxury of having a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, at the helm. And so now you've got to navigate the waters without the best captain that probably the franchise has ever had. Now, what do you do? How do you fill that void? And so I think, you know, his coaching is going to be, you know, put to the test, if you will, because he's got to shore up that quarterback position. And not only for next year, for the foreseeable future, because as you say, you look at the quarterbacks in this division, all of them are young. except now you don't know what the Steelers have. So they're the one question mark in terms of a young quarterback. They've got to get it figured out because quickly you can go to the back of the pack with no quarterback.
Now, they offered Jerome on, and I'm going to be at the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now, and Jerome's been by a dozen times over the year. Jerome, you came. I got a picture of you and me in New Orleans in 1997. You, me, and Ricky Waters, and Radio Row wasn't a row. It was out in, like, a lobby and in the Hyatt and whatnot. And there's always a good thing to pitch. And this is something – this is not the first time you've talked about this. You've talked about this most of your life, about being asthmatic and breathing. I've seen you on television talk about it many times. It never goes away. And we're in Baltimore, right? So in the city, we've had lead paint that's led to all sorts of things for generations here that I've talked about on Baltimore Positive. Tell me about your experience, because I think everybody knows you grew up in Detroit.
Yeah, and I grew up, I was diagnosed with asthma at 14. And so it's, you know, it's always been something that's close and dear to me, you know, asthma education, trying to keep people informed. But having asthma, you know, you were always conscious of those pollutants, of those irritants that could cause problems for me. And so the first thing I had to always look at was the indoor air quality. What was it like? What could I do to help myself? We didn't have pets in the house because we knew pets and dust mites, you knew all that was there. We knew that the dust was going to be a part of it, but that was something that we had to deal with. So we was always conscious about the quality of the air. And now it's still the same. I mean, if you want to, you know, any type of exercise, any of those things, you will not be at your optimal breathing levels if the air quality is poor. And so that's why it's so important to make sure that people are conscious and they understand. But there's a lot of things that you can do to improve the indoor air quality. It's the simple steps like changing the air filters, right? Using real plants, using organic candles. I mean, things like that can help the air quality of your home. And then if you want to know about the air quality in your home in particular, there's a air quality test that can be done, and that can be done by AirServe. It's a neighborly company, and all you have to do is reach out to AirServe at airserve.com or neighborly.com, and they can come in and they can give your home the check, because you want to make sure you have the proper ventilation in your home. And if you do that, then I think your air quality will be substantially better.
The Hall of Famer Jerome Bettis, the Bus, joining us here, not from Pittsburgh, from some studio somewhere. I wish you were in L.A. Hanging out with me a week after next for Super Bowl. You know, Bus, the air thing's interesting because my friend Martin Knott is in a similar business here. He's been on the show with me, and we've talked about this, especially during COVID. So two things happened in my life. My wife was diagnosed with leukemia back in 14 and 15, so I understood masks and Purell before the plague, right? I was in and out of hospitals. My wife spent 155 nights in hospitals. She's doing great. Two bone marrow transplants. Awesome. But the first thing was, what's the quality of the air when she comes home and she's neutropenic and she's, you know, battling, you know, all the post-cancer things. So I checked the air quality in my home, and it was good. It was fine. Right. So I felt good about that. But then COVID happened, and then we're all concerned about indoor airspace and what the air we're breathing. And it's amazing because all of our life, we know the temperature. You know, you knew the temperature in the dome you're running around in St. Louis 25 years ago. You're 72 degrees, but we never know the air quality. And it really affects, not, you know, this as a kid having this problem. When you don't have good air, you can't think the way you need to think to be sharp. You really, every part of your life is depleted when your oxygen is depleted.
And people don't really understand that, you know, you're getting the headaches, the allergies, fatigue, all these things are because the air quality is not at optimal levels. And people have to understand our bodies, we're like a machine. And if we're not getting enough oxygen, if the air quality is not the best, we're not going to perform at our peak potential. And it's not just in sports, it's just in life. Like you said, your decision making is going to be gray. You're going to find that it's hard to breathe. You're going to have fatigue pretty quickly. So it is a factor, and it's something that, we all have to think about, look at, and react to.
I got to ask you, you went back to school like Rodney Dangerfield, man, right? I mean, I saw you Notre Dame. I saw a picture of you. You were on the 30-year plan. Animal House was a 7-year plan. I was on the 6-year plan, Bus, to be honest with you. Tell me about going back to Notre Dame, because I know that was important to you.
It is. I'm in South Bend as we speak. It is critically important to me. It was something that I always wanted to do. Unfortunately, you know, life happens and you go in so many different directions. You don't get an opportunity to look back at it. And I had a window, obviously with COVID.
How many credits short were you? How far away were you?
So I was my full senior year. I left as a junior.
Okay.
So I had my full senior year. The problem is at Notre Dame, you've got to take your senior year courses on campus. Well, COVID created an opportunity where I could take one semester of courses online because all the kids had to. So I was able to take advantage of that. And then I only had 12 credit hours left, but I had to do them on campus. And I said, you know what? I'm so close. I gotta get it done. I promised my mother, my kids are watching. I just needed to take care of it so that I left a lasting impression and the right presentation for my kids.
What fills your days? What makes you happy, man? I haven't seen you in a long time.
You know, it's about, you know, family. It's about raising kids. It's about doing the right thing. And so that's why it was important to come back to school and to finish this. And I'm telling you, it's cold as ever, but it's fulfilling as ever as well.
You want to sing the Notre Dame fight song on the way out or no? You all right?
Cheer for Notre Dame.
Bus, be well. Be that's well. Nice. Take care of yourself. Bus provided to us by AirServe. That's AirServ. You can go check them out. Bus, take care of yourself. I hope to see you out in LA in a couple weeks or Super Bowl. And
yes, see you soon.
I hope to see you on a 12-0 versus 11-1 Steeler Raven Monday. That's what we need to do. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, yes. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.